Lent is a season of self-examination, prayer, fasting, and works of love. That's it. There's a little more to it, I guess. The word Lent, it comes most recently from German. It's a German word, Lent, and the Dutch word, Lente. Both of them mean spring. So Lent means spring. So at least in the northern part of the globe, the season of Lent corresponds to spring. Funny how we just ignore that the seasons are completely reversed on the other side of the globe. And, oh, it's Lent. It's spring. In Latin, the word is not that at all. It's a big Latin word, quadragesima. I probably said it wrong. More closely related to the religious aspect of Lent, quadragesima means 40th day before Easter. I wonder what Lent would be called in the southern hemisphere if the word grew in popularity from there. In the southern hemisphere, of course, it's an autumn, a season of harvest, but also a season where creation begins to die. So the words often said in the imposition of ashes, remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. I have a much closer connection to the seasonal experience of Lent in the southern hemisphere than in the northern hemisphere. In Swahili, this is fun. It's spoken in South Africa and other countries in the southern hemisphere. Vuli means fall, literally it means shade. However, that word is probably a much newer addition to the language. In Swahili, there really isn't a word for autumn, but the season where the leaves fall is known as Majira ya Majana Kupukukika. That's the season of leaves. However, the last word of the phrase, Kupukukika, has an sort of an indefinable meaning. It relates to the leaves falling. That would have been a great word to express the experience of Lent in the southern hemisphere. Kupukukika, undefined, but that would be the word for Lent. 40 days of it. 40 days Jesus spent in the wilderness. 40 years Israel wandered in the wilderness. 40 days as they lengthen, as life begins to show all over creation. 40 days as they become shorter, as death becomes evident all over creation. All of them accurate. All of them Lent. Lent is a season of self-examination, prayer, fasting, and works of love. Lent, when folks usually give something up, often something that they really love or treasure. And tonight's Bible reading has a little to say about how to act when you're practicing your faith. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them. When you give alms, do not let your left hand, right, left, know what your right hand is doing. And whenever you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners so that they may be seen by others. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal, but put oil on your head and wash your face so that your fasting may be seen not by others. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. You know, depending on who says this, you could think this is pretty anti-religious. I mean, Jesus said it. But what if an agnostic person or an atheist said this? The verses aren't anti-religious. They are anti, look at how holy I am. And they aren't anti-generosity. They're anti, pat me on the back because I helped the poor. They aren't anti-prayer. They're anti, look at how excellently I can pray. And they aren't anti-fasting. They're anti, look how cool I am because I'm fasting. And they aren't even anti-wealth. They're anti, give me more and more and more. And also, Anti, I have so much stuff. I have to rent space to store my stuff because I really don't need all this stuff, but I just don't want to get rid of my stuff, so I'm renting space for my stuff. They're anti that. These verses give us a great perspective about getting ready for what's coming. What's coming 6 weeks from now? You can say it out loud, yeah? Easter. They give us a great perspective about giving things up for Lent. Lent is a season of self-examination, prayer, fasting, and works of love. Self-examination. Not for all to see and notice, but for each of us to take an honest look at our lives and to think about how we can walk forward in faith. Prayer, not for all to see and to notice, but for each of us to spend time talking to God and listening to God. Prayer isn't just this one thing, you know? Let me pray out loud, or let me pray in the silence of my home, in a closet, wherever I pray, and then just talk. A part of prayer is not saying anything and not even forwardly thinking words out toward. Prayer is about listening, too. We're going to spend some time, right? We're going to spend some time probably in September now, I don't know, or maybe in May, on a journey of prayer. Different kinds of prayer, contemplative prayer. Lectio Divina. Silent prayer, prayer where we empty our minds that feels a lot like meditation, listening for God's word. Then there's fasting. Not for all to see and notice, but for each of us to better understand relying on God for strength. And then works of love, not for the recognition. I know, it feels good to be recognized when you do good things, but we don't do acts of love to get the recognition. Instead, for each of us, and for all of us in community, to heed the words of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 58. To break the chains of injustice. To get rid of exploitation in the workplace, to free the oppressed, to cancel debts, to share our food with the hungry, to invite the homeless poor into our homes. Ooh, right there in the Bible it says that. To put clothes on the shivering, ill-clad, to be available to our families. Take a look at those things. They're worth taking to heart. Isaiah 58, 6 and 7. Kind of paraphrase there from the message, but look at it in any edition of the Bible. Works of love, that's what they're about. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where is your treasure? Amen.